The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's coming? Love time. Floats one. Watson. Down there! Holden checks in. That wide receiver, he's missed the last three games. A speedy rookie, Love, loading up, going deep, down the field, has a man, it's caught, touchdown, Bo Melton.
Got it again.
Play fake, Williams, looking, throwing, it is caught, touchdown. Play fake, quick throw, Watson, with the speed, uh-oh, Christian Watson in a foot race, and he's going to win it. Touchdown, Green Bay. Third and goal. Theo Bennett in alignment in motion. He gets cut. Williams floats it the other way. It's caught for a touchdown. Colston Loveland on the fake. Williams looking, throwing. It is intercepted. Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
There is a new team in first place in the NFC North, and it is the Green Bay Packers, thanks to their 28-21 victory yesterday at Lambeau Field over the Chicago Bears, leading us to a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Before the show even started, people are littering. Just coming in on that Carbless Talking text line with Bears still suck. As the Packers are able to beat the Bears. Matt LaFleur now 12-1 against Chicago. Green Bay, number two right now in the NFC. And again, this is how tight the NFC is, Chew. The Bears go from number one seed in the NFC all the way down to seven with their loss yesterday. And now the Detroit Lions nipping at their heels for that final wild card spot.
Yeah, it's going to come down to a game in Chicago in 2 weeks, I believe, right? That's a good game. I think we learned a lot about the Bears. I think we learned a little more about the Packers. Stats were pretty even across the board. A boring game. Didn't you think it was terrible first half?
The hell were you watching?
First game was so the first half was boring.
You mean other than the explosive plays that the Packers were putting up there?
Three of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how long this game was played.
How long do three plays last game?
Yeah.
Roughly,
I mean,
what? 12
seconds. That's the dirty
36,
secret of the NFL. There's not a lot of There's not a lot of
seconds
action.
Of action.
You could watch. I could go on NFL.com, watch a condensed replay, and it's going to take me 15 minutes. That's the dirty secret of the NFL. There's not a lot of action going on in the course of the 3 hours of the game you're watching.
Well, see, here's the deal, and you get caught up in it a little bit. You're okay before the game, but after the game, my guess is you're still going to say the Bears still suck. And they don't suck, Gabe.
Did you hear me say that? I was just saying that the people on the talking text line were saying. The Bears are a good football team. The Bears are heading in the right direction.
So they answered the question I had for you guys on Friday.
Which was what?
Remember I said, what are you more confident, the Bears are good or the Packers are very good? Are the Bears good?
The Bears are good, yes.
Why do you hesitate, though? I don't understand the hesitation.
Because Caleb Williams, again, you want to talk about a boring first half? When your quarterback starts 0-7.
Yes, totally agree.
Stinks.
Your guy starts 0-7. Like, yeah, I still have questions. And he made some spectacular throws. Don't get me wrong, especially on their first touchdown drive of the second half. I mean, he dropped an absolute dime in the bucket while on the run to set up the touchdown to Komet. And then the touchdown pass to Zaccheaus was, whew.
And he was very effective with his feet.
Yeah.
Well, that's his thing. He can't stand in a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to. That's why they ran play action on almost 70% of the plays that were dropbacks.
And then roll them out.
Then you add Ben Johnson into the mix, who's a very good coach, and that makes them a good team.
I mean, it's all Ben Johnson right now. They have a good offensive line and Ben Johnson.
They can run the ball.
Yeah, that's why I said good offensive line.
Yep.
But I know the path you guys are going down. Just don't go there yet.
What?
It's way too early.
What do you mean it's way too early?
Because you think they're going to blow them out again in Chicago.
I'm not even, dude, we got plenty of time to talk about that game.
Yeah.
Like, they've got the okay. Broncos coming up next. Like,
no, I know.
I'm not
I
overlooking
know.
That Broncos game.
Yeah.
So, would you say the Packers, so what?
No, I wouldn't say they're very good. Not yet. I would say they're better than good. I can't make the jump to very good.
Do you think the Broncos are very good?
I think the two are the same.
Because the Packers are favored on the road by a point and a half as we sit here to open up this NFL week.
Where do the Packers have to fall in the Super Bowl odds for you to consider them very good? I haven't looked those up today, but I'm going to soon, and I imagine they're going to be 1, 2, or 3.
You know what I'm waiting for, Josh? I'm waiting for a 45-point game.
Those just aren't going to happen.
That's what I'm waiting for. Plus, I mean, you look at
the only way that happens, by the way, with this schedule, is against the Vikings at the end of the season, which is not going to happen because at that point, that game, you know, is probably not going to mean a ton for the Packers. More than likely, they're going to be pretty solidly in the playoff field, and they know they can beat the Vikings by just running the football a ton, shortening the game, and kind of resting everybody without resting everybody.
I just look at the Rams and I look at Seattle. Rams scored 45, Seattle scored 37. You know,
who did they play?
Oh, here we go. They played the same team the Packers did, Arizona.
They played the Bears?
Arizona? Didn't they play the Arizona? Didn't they play the Cardinals game?
Yeah, they did.
They played without
bitching about common opponents in football and they don't give credit.
Because Chewy, you're smart enough to know that different matchups mean different things for teams. And ultimately, what I'm talking about, if you're going to talk head-to-head, the only thing that matters is, did you win the game? That's what matters when I'm talking about head-to-head.
We're in style points territory.
Okay, right, head-to-head, what was the score against Arizona?
The Packers won the game.
By how much?
I don't know, four or five?
Don't even remember.
God, the pick and choose that goes on around here.
No, well, no, because you've been consistent. No, you're looking for style points.
All of a sudden, you're style points guy. Like, you are doing everything you can to stretch yourself into a pretzel to avoid saying the Packers, despite being the top team right now in the
question
NFC North.
Today. Answer the question today.
Yeah.
The Packers are what?
Packers are very
the
good.
The Bears are good. The Packers are what?
Are very good. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think there's anybody who's great.
Who's all right? Rank these three: Seattle, Rams, Packers.
Rams, Packers, Seattle.
Oof. Okay.
You forget that Sam Darnold's over there.
Like, Sam Darnold's like, again, those two teams are going to play later, and Sam Darnold's going to throw three picks. Like, Sam Darnold just throws interceptions in every big game he's ever played in the NFL.
Okay,
and that has to factor in. Like, every time Sam Darnold, the last 2 years, he's been fantastic outside of big games. He's played in three big games, Chew. He played in one in week 18 last year, filled the britches.
Mm-hmm.
Then they played the playoff game, lost that by double digits. And then he threw four picks this year against the Los Angeles Rams.
So you think they're arrived? Do you think they're playing to a Super Bowl level right now? Green Bay?
Cusp.
Yeah, I would say on the cusp of it. Because with the NFL right now, I have a hard time saying anybody's playing at a Super Bowl level. I think it's all pretty wide open. And the more that the Packers win to give themselves more home games and better, again, on paper, because it doesn't always work out that way, depending upon how the seeding works out. But the higher seed that you have, and right now they're the number 2 seed, you're getting better matchups on paper. Or at least that's the theory, right? And putting yourself in that position, and there's still a long way to go.
All right, well, let me ask you a question about the Bears. Finish this question for me. The Bears are better than I thought, about the same. Not as good as I thought.
From when? Before the game?
Before the start of the game.
The Bears are like what I thought they were. They're a fringe playoff team.
So you thought they were good?
Yeah. Did you not listen to me all week stressing out about their run game and what they could potentially do in that
but
to
I don't
the
know
Packers?
If you called them good. I don't know if you actually said the
what,
Bears are
what
good.
What point are you trying you to make here?
The point I'm trying to make is you guys think 2 weeks is going to be a layup game, and it ain't going to be a layup game.
We never said that.
I
believe I predicted a 27-24 game, big guy. Doesn't look like a layup. You
to this game or the last game?
The Bears game. The Bears game, I said Packers win 27-24. I thought it was going to be a tight game. And it was.
Did you, though? I didn't get that feeling.
Because you don't listen.
What?
He almost got you. He almost got you.
But Josh.
If we're being honest, if you listen,
Josh.
I think he got me.
Uh-huh.
If you listen back to that tape, I think he got me.
Then why didn't he come out and say on Friday? He wouldn't give us a score. He would not give us a score.
I didn't give you a score.
I came out on Monday and told you what the score was going to be.
I don't know what you're doing here.
Like, he gave you a score. It was on the graphic. It was there. There's also, like, if we want to actually talk about the game instead
of talking about the following games
and the ones that are coming up, like, there were three calls in that game that could have blown it wide open for the Packers. The incompletion for the ball that I'm not sure ever hit the ground on the Loveland-Evan Williams situation, that could change the game.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was really weird, because incompletion could, like, it can't be incomplete.
The only incompletion could have been Evan Williams when he held the ball up for the referee and then it got knocked away.
Like,
that wasn't
completing
the process to them. The Luke Musgrave thing to me is just a catch. I know it touched the ground, but it didn't meaningfully move in his arms. Like, it jostled a little. Yeah. And then the Nixon, after he got choked by Luther Burden, him getting the flag there, like, those are all determining calls that could swing the game wide open. And I've seen catches like Luke Musgrave's go the other way. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I mean, the problem with the catch is the NFL doesn't know what it is.
Well, Dontayvion Wicks just last week. How is that more of a catch than what we just saw Luke Musgrave do?
The other two, I'm with you. I didn't think Musgrave's was a catch.
Right. What I'm stressing here is, it's fine to judge it that way, but Dontayvion Wicks had the ball inbounds for less time and less control than Luke Musgrave did. Like, we just saw it happen. So it's hard to predict, like, they decided in that one, despite not really showing us any good evidence besides a split second.
Like, yeah, which one came back so quick?
That was the one Matt LaFleur challenged the spot of the...
I don't even know if he ended up using a challenge.
Yeah.
It feels like
they said that he earned the third one, so he did technically.
Okay.
But it was like before commercial break went to break, we knew the answer.
Well, and that's, again, the NFL has a lot of procedural things they need to clean up with the expedited replay, because it seemed like why didn't you just use expedited replay then instead of LaFleur having to use
the
challenge?
Yeah, they need to clean that up in the offseason.
Yeah.
Get that straight.
I've been waiting for them to clean up a catch in the offseason for 20 years at this point, Chew, and I can't imagine that they're actually going to do it. But you can join the conversation, 800-990-3776, on the Carpless Talkin' text line. Again, how you feel about the Packers after they were able to host the Bears, everything on the line, and they come away victorious 28-21. You want Super Bowl odds, Chew?
Yeah.
So the Rams are the favorites, plus 400. The Packers and Seahawks are next at plus 800. Okay. Bills are plus 900. Broncos plus 1,000. And the Patriots are plus 1,000. Eagles are also in there, plus 900. But
why do people not like to play Patriots? Because they played nobody?
Young quarterback.
Young team.
Waiting for him to implode.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you get in a big playoff situation.
I just think at this point we've seen it so many times with those young quarterbacks who burst onto the scene.
Yeah.
They'll get into the playoffs, but when it comes to...
Yeah, they could be very well be the number one seed in the NFC.
Right, and they could win a game too, but there's going to be a time where the defensive coordinator on the other side puts Drake May in a pretzel.
Yeah. Which, again, I don't think is an insult to the Patriots.
No. Like,
these things are... As we are witnessing right now with the Packers...
It's a process.
It's a process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're clearly on the right path.
I think you don't get to run to the front of the line. I think the bottom line is the point I'm trying to get across is the Bears surprised me.
In this game or just overall this season? I think for you it's more about this season. Because again, I'm not looking the rear view guy. I'm not buying into the Bears hype because everyone does it, you know, all preseason. You know, this is the Bears' year. They got their guy. And this is the first year that actually came to fruition. And this Bears team is good because of their coaching staff.
I thought the game went.
And that's what I would say, Gabe. I would say, why are they good? I said their coaching staff is very good.
Well, I don't know about the I don't know enough about the rest of the Bears coaching staff. I know Ben Johnson's a damn good play caller.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to put his guys, even with their limitations, in the best spot to succeed. Like, the way they that drive, what was it, like 16, 18 plays, and they just kept running the ball, and then they called the perfect play actions at the perfect time, and guys were making plays. Like, when we talked about Ben Johnson going to the Bears, we universally here were like, that's a problem. That's an issue.
Yeah.
We think that highly of him as a play caller.
I was holding on to hope of, well, just because you're a really good play caller doesn't mean that you're going to be a good head coach.
Right.
We're just talking about the Patriots. Look at Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
Doing a great job calling plays and being an OC. Just couldn't handle the responsibilities of being a head coach. Unfortunately for us, it seems like Ben Johnson is up to that
task. And it seems like the difference between the game we saw yesterday is the Packers have more elite players or more top-level type players, and the Bears have an issue with their quarterback who can't complete passes in, like, the traditional offense. It has to be a schemed-up special delivery or him making an incredible throw on the run into the tightest of margins. Like, that can work, and it can win in a single game. That's just not sustainable offense and winning.
Yeah, I just think the best thing for Packer fans is to keep Caleb Williams around.
Yes.
I mean, he'll win a game. They'll take one from you.
The
Packers, but I think in the long run it'll...
And I really think that, again, the fun part is these two teams get to go head-to-head again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Seeing it up close in person, I think that Jeff Hafley is going to have a better plan of trying to keep Caleb in the pocket more. Even though, again, that's something the Bears scheme and try to get him rolling out more than... And, these offenses like to get the quarterback rolling out from time to time off that play action, but the Bears seemingly do it more than the average team.
Because he's more comfortable when he's sprinting to a sideline.
Even though he's not. even though he's not. I mean, again.
He bails way too early all the time.
It's just unbelievable how he can be so accurate at times and be so inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, he has a sub 55% completion percentage in his last six games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's really bad. And what you see, though, is him making those incredible, like, that one, the first touchdown drive, he made two of the best throws I've seen from an opponent. But then,
they were the best two throws of the game.
Yeah, but then 15 other throws, you're going, what are you doing?
He started 0-for-7. Like, his first throw of the game, he overthrew the receiver so much, the safety 10 yards behind him jumped and couldn't make a play on the football.
Yeah.
you just don't know what you're going to get with him, and I think that adds a wild card factor to when these two teams play in 2 weeks.
They win weird.
Yeah.
Or they compete weird because they didn't win.
Yeah.
They just compete
weird. I think the game goes a little bit different if the Packers jump out to an earlier lead and are able to get that 14-17.
If they come out, because I was feeling great after they jumped up 14-3 going into half, knowing that they were getting the football, I thought, okay, if they move, going three and out.
Yes, twice.
But they scored a touchdown between.
Yeah.
But going three and out the first one is what really killed me.
Yes.
Because much like, and again, they went three and out in this game as well, but then they got the turnover off the punt. When the Packers scored against the Vikings, that's what shifted that game.
Yes.
They could have shifted this game had they come out and even put a field goal on the board in that first half.
Well, I can tell you this.
Or excuse me, in the first possession.
You talked about Hafley learning from this game. Dennis Allen, the Bears coordinator.
You think he's going to blitz in 2 weeks?
I don't think he's going to put his safeties on an island because they are stiffs. Holy cow. Yeah,
I mean, that Bo Melton touchdown, that guy was just there. Just make the play.
So unathletic.
He's unable to, Josh.
Yeah.
It was like, just hit it.
Didn't even come close to making the play. Like, not even close. Not even close to even attempting to make a play.
It was like going for a left-handed layup. Jumping off your left foot. That's what it looks like, you know?
Something looks weird here. Something looks a little off. But we do want to continue here on this Victory Monday. We are going to talk more about the Packers, specifically a little about Jordan Love. We do that coming up next. But if you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, now is the time to buy, because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. Ewald's year-end sale now through the year-end. Makes sense. Go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase, expires at month end.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky?
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's Connie's Urban Pie and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Victory Monday also brought to you by Callen, from kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows. Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today. Call Callen.com. Weather also brought to you by National Liquor Mart, 16th and National in Milwaukee, packed with the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, where your satisfaction is their plan of action. Packers victorious over the Chicago Bears, 28-21 at Lambeau Field. Packers now in first place in the NFC North. Not going to be easy the rest of the way, but we can certainly enjoy the victory today. And I'll tell you what, Chu, I know we have spent a lot of time talking about this guy since he's been back, but it seems like there's just something every week that he does that makes me go, man, he just continues to grow. And it seems like he's figured it out. And it was Christian Watson once again. First on the big touchdown that he had in the first half, the one that he caught down near the goal line on a big crosser. And he comes back to the football. Like, it's a little detail, Chu, that I don't know if he does in year one or year two. Like, I feel he's going to wait for that one to try to get to him, and the defender might be able to make a play on it if he does. Instead, when the ball's in the air, he adjusts just a little bit to make sure that he's coming back toward that football just a little bit, using his body to shield off the defender and make that a walk-in touchdown for him and the Packers on the slant. I mean, you've been begging for slants.
Yeah.
You have done everything short of calling your contacts inside Lambeau Field, asking them to run slants, and then he cooks a corner on a slant and ends up a 41-yard touchdown on the second one. He's just doing different things every week that, like, you're going, man, this guy just continues to grow.
Yeah, he's growing. Still not the greatest route runner, but what he's doing now is he's winning. If he wins at the line of scrimmage and you're playing him man, you're not going to catch him.
Toast.
You know,
he hit like 21 and a half miles per hour on that sprint.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, I have no idea what
he
the hell
tore his ACL in 2025.
Yeah.
Same calendar year.
Yeah, no, that was huge. Beat him right at the line and you got no chance. That's why I was saying earlier, Dennis Allen, I'm sure he's not going to put their corners or nickels, whoever that was, in that situation again. But he is, yeah, he's growing. He's definitely growing, and you can see what a weapon he can be. LaFleur's just got to find this combination. I don't think he's found it yet on who he wants on the field in a three-receiver set.
Well,
Dobbs, you know, we talked about Dobbs, and we've come to the agreement he is what he is, but he only had two targets with no catches yesterday. I don't know.
I mean, part of it yesterday was, and it was confusing while it happened, and then Matt LaFleur in his postgame press conference let everybody know that Dontayvion Wicks was dealing with an ankle injury, which is why he only played six snaps in the game yesterday. Because
six snaps run three routes.
Yeah. Like, why is Bo Melton in the game
and
so much?
Golden also is clearly still not there.
Yeah, because he only played five. Yeah, he played five snaps.
I mean, I'd just like to see the combination of Wicks, Reed, and Watson.
I think that's...
Because I was surprised on right away, right out of the gate, they got Reed involved.
So I wasn't that surprised, too, for the first play. Like, I feel that's just a, hey, you're back, let's just get you this easy little completion. But then they just kept feeding the football. They just kept giving it to him. It wasn't just like, okay, we got this one play out of the way, now let's go and do whatever else.
I do think there's a degree of he was probably healthier earlier in his 21-day window, and then they were just out of abundance of caution bringing him back slowly. And the way the schedule was set up didn't really give him much practice time.
If they didn't play on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
my guess is he would have played
that correct. Sunday.
That Sunday. Because you would have gone through like a regular week of practice.
He still needs a little more time to get his feet under them.
Well, so yeah, you go 12 weeks in the middle of a season, Chu, without playing football. Yeah, I think that's expected.
But his usefulness showed me that he's clearly far enough along the progression point where we can expect a lot more from him in the near future.
Yeah.
Join the conversation, 800-990-3776 on the Carbos Talk and text line. Tyler chiming in saying, two plays that stood out to him. Heads-up play where Melton intentionally took a PI call to save a pick, which I think is like the first like pass breakup Bo Melton's had all year.
It is, yes. Correct.
And then Engabare blowing up a third and one. And I want to talk about that just very briefly because a friend of mine, Chris Carlin, who was on the call yesterday, works for ESPN Radio. He's doing his New York show here in Milwaukee today. He was on the call yesterday, so we're going to talk to Chris Carlin here in just a moment. But that Engabare, well, he blew up the third and one that led to the fourth and one. But the Engabare sack is what I want to talk about. Because Engabare gets home on a sack, Chu. I don't know if you noticed it, but I know Josh did because he texted about it. Micah Parsons, first of all, flushed Caleb Williams Rea to step up in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the reason that Engabare was open because Micah Parsons beat his guy, the guard, and then somehow out of the corner of his eye, sees the tackle, gives him a shove in the back, so then he kind of sets a pick, freeing Engabare loose as Parsons gets to the quarterback, and then the quarterback and then Williams steps up into the hands of Engabare. Like, I haven't seen a pass rusher. Maybe that happens more than I know, Chu, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if I've ever seen a pass rusher do that. It just, once again, even though Micah Parsons did not have a sack yesterday, you're seeing the impact that he has on the other pass rushers around him.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a very smart player. What you get in that instance is you'll see a D end or a D interior D lineman hold an offensive lineman to keep him from getting to Engabare. But that was just smart pushing him in the back.
The what made it unique to me is like you see the stunts and stuff up front and it's clearly part of the design.
Yeah.
It was just Caleb after beating his man and the tackle already being like six steps into his pass set. He just shoves him in the back, and it's not a huge shove.
But it just, like, throws him off balance enough where he can't recover.
Right. And then, as you know, with how good these end of, even J.J. Enagbare, who's like, well, now he's the second best pass rusher on the Packers team.
I was just going to say.
Wow.
At this point in the year, is he better than Gary?
Yes. They're playing almost exactly the amount of snaps.
That's just what Josh just said.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I know.
I mean, I think so. I mean, did you see Gary quit? On that, when he was chasing down Caleb, just stopped running.
I did not notice that, no.
You can find it, because everyone said, well, what's going on here? Engabare just looks better, faster, and like he's getting to the quarterback better. I mean, when was the last time Rashawn Gary impacted a play?
He had one quarterback hit.
Yeah, you know really how that happened, too?
Yeah.
Unblocked. The best unblocked player in the NFL.
I was about to say, what did Micah do?
Yeah.
All right, our guy Chris Carlin, he is here. He is going to be joining us next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chu. He was on the call yesterday on the Packers-Bears. Chris Carlin joins us next on a Victory Monday.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, Jen, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Packers defeating the Bears 28-21. And a guy who was on the call nationally on the radio yesterday. You catch him on ESPN New York. Heck, if you listen to ESPN Radio, I'm sure you're going to hear him calling some games over the bowl season, NFL games. He does it all. Our buddy Chris Carlin. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, brother? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for having me in. This is awesome. This is a great setup.
Yeah.
I got lost. This place is so big.
Not the only one that's happened to. Q Myers was here over the NFL draft, and he kind of got lost in the hallways here at GKB Milwaukee.
I mean, I'm an idiot to begin with, Chewy, so like this is no big surprise.
Join the club. You'll feel right at home here, Chris. Chris, what was your takeaway from the game? I think the thing that surprised me the most, because I didn't know what the Bears were, I think I can say today the Bears are good. They're good.
Yeah.
And a reason, I think a big part of why they're good is because their coaching staff is very good.
They are an exceptionally well-coached team. That comes out of it. The fact that they're down 14-3, that game could have gotten out of hand earlier in the second half, and they didn't let it. They came out. They responded. They had answers offensively. I thought Philadelphia for them the week before was more about Philadelphia than it was necessarily about the Bears. When you get run over for 300 yards, I don't care who it is. Like, that's more about you and your defense. Yesterday, I thought the Bears actually responded pretty well. But what really impressed me about the Packers is you came right back with haymakers yourself. Like, every time that they were there, they came right back down the field and delivered a blow themselves. And I think it says more that the Bears are a good team, yes, but the Packers beat a good team yesterday, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So with Jordan Love, you mentioned bouncing back throws. He's only thrown four picks this year, but it seems like all four have been like, wait, what the hell were you looking at?
Yeah, I don't
there?
Know what he was looking at the first
and,
one.
And so he throws the interception yesterday, but again, he's only done it four times this year, so that's still a low number. But what does it say about him that he's able to bounce back, throw the three touchdowns that
I mean,
did?
What the number now is, if I'm not mistaken, week 11 and later in his career, it's now 37 touchdowns and three interceptions.
Oh, are you familiar with Jordan Love and Toyotathon?
I'm not familiar with the Toyotathon part.
Oh, yeah. So week 11 coincides. I don't know who figured this out.
Right.
But it became...
Just a person on Twitter. That started this whole thing.
So it started his first year. They started calling Jordan Love a Toyotathon merchant because his great numbers, as you mentioned, started lining up when, for whatever reason, Toyotathon starts.
Oh, my God.
And now that has launched into... He has a partnership with Toyotathon,
yeah.
And they were sending out cards with a game-worn Christmas sweater that Jordan Love had and had autographed. Like, he's turned into a whole thing, Jordan Love and Toyotathon.
I hope whoever that dude is getting a slice of that money. I know he's not, but I mean, that seems unjust.
At least get one of the cards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's absurd that you play that well that much later in the year, but man, it's a trait that you want. It's a trait that you want in the absolute worst way because nationally, and I think you guys know this, there were still and still are a lot of questions about Jordan Love and what he is. But when you see him day to day like you guys have, you understand that for whatever reason, he gets off to these slower starts. But, man, to be able to pick it up when it matters the most is what matters to me.
My takeaway with the Packers, though, because, I posed a question last week to the group here. And I said, going into this game, are you more confident that the Bears are good or Packers are very good?
Hmm.
I don't think I can call the Packers very good yet. Just from the stance, I look at Seattle and I look at the Rams, who put up monster points. The Packers are all in that 28 total when they play an opponent. That's the only reason. I think there's a couple things. I don't want Philly coming here.
Right.
And I don't want to go to Seattle.
I think this is it for Philly, though, Chewy.
You think so?
I've worked in that market, so I talk to a lot of people still down there. And, it seems like every year they needed some drama, and it's always been stupid drama, and the drama tends to be getting dumber by the moment. And even though Brandon Graham came back, they have been missing some of that leadership. Even though what happened last year happened, I think the Packers are better. I really do. I think the Packers and the Rams are the two best teams. I'm still not buying in 100%, although Smith and Jigba's had an amazing season in Seattle. Darnold will not have me until he's winning playoff games. He just won't. And as far as the Packers are concerned, I am a huge believer in this defense. We were just talking off the air. Jeff Hafley's going to get a head coaching opportunity this offseason. And yesterday wasn't even one of his best games. But again, they come up with plays when they need to. And I really like that. And that last play, Nixon was ready for because it's the same play they ran last week against Philadelphia. And by the way, you guys should be sending Caleb Williams a Christmas card for not running and getting the first down because it was right there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. If he just ran, they get the first down, and the game's still going.
Chris, do we know what he is, Caleb Williams?
I see throws that are sailed yesterday at times. I see throws that are outstanding yesterday at times. The sidearm throw that he threw for the touchdown to Zacchaeus. Now, granted, it went through the hands of the DB in front of him, but still, mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good throw. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. And I think it's really interesting to watch him late in the season. Now that that team has had a lot of success, 58% going into yesterday, and you see why people are talking about that. Although I will say, he threw better on the run yesterday than I expected. Mm-hmm. Because I expected that, you know, those were going to be where his main issues were, and that's not what the case was.
Chris Carlin was on the call yesterday on the radio side for Packers and Bears. Again, catch him. Number of different games on ESPN Radio the rest of this month of December. What's it like watching Micah Parsons live and in person?
That's
the one thing that I have not done for the Packers this season. And he didn't have a sack yesterday, but he's still everywhere.
It's not just that. It's the influence that he has that allows to open up for Rashawn Gary as well. Because it felt like at times Gary was chasing it down more, but they were just absolutely doing everything they could to do anything to Micah Parsons, and they couldn't do it. And I have to tell you, I hate the Cowboys so much that it's awesome to be able to watch him and like stomach it. You know? But he is just such a dominant force. Oh my Lord. That was such a trade that was so incredibly worth it in so many ways. And look, we can talk about Halfley and we can talk about all the other things. The Packers have had, in my estimation, you know, pretty good defensive players for a while, but this just took it to a whole nother level.
Chris, what's your take on Detroit? Which direction will they go in?
I don't have a lot of faith. I you know, Detroit's defense over the years, not that we were kind of sold a bill of goods in New York with Aaron Glenn, but their defense was never spectacular. He was just kind of seen more as a real good leader, but I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great. I don't think Detroit. I think the Packers are by far the best team in the division. And what does it say about the entire situation that the Bears go from the first seed to the seventh seed by losing that game yesterday?
That's crazy.
Well, that's the follow-up here as we talk with Chris Carlin. The NFL just seems as wide open as I can ever remember it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Chiefs lose again.
Yep.
They might, again, I'm not going to bury them yet because I want to make sure that they're...
We keep saying that, though, man. I don't know. That looked pretty crappy last night.
They were bad last night.
Yeah.
Again, I want to make sure that they're eliminated and then wait a week before they're actually dead.
Okay.
Before declaring
them. Now, listen, I'm a show-me-the-body guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially when it comes to that team. Yeah. The Ravens lost yesterday. Like, these teams that we thought were going to be at the top of the NFL all the way back in August just aren't there right now.
Yeah.
And the teams that are now at the top... Yeah, I think maybe you probably have some faith in the Rams because we've seen Stafford do it before. Devontae Adams has been such a good player. That defense looks really good. But I don't know how much faith you have on top of the AFC either with a young team in New England and then the Broncos doing it basically with their defense.
I have no idea. I have no idea. New England, if you look at what the strength of their record is, the winning percentage of their opponents this year is under 400. Like, that's how bad the teams have been that they've been beating. So I don't know what they are yet. And the Broncos, I've seen them a couple of times in person in addition to whatever. You know, Bo Nix is... You know, I can't get into it. You know, like, he's a guy. The defense is very good, but I guess that when I look around right now, the things that have me feeling good are the teams that have the really good coaches, and obviously Sean Payton's one of them. I cannot tell you who is coming out of the AFC right now. I cannot for the life of me. If you told me that the Packers were coming out of the NFC, I'd completely believe that. I would expect it, frankly, at this point.
What about Buffalo?
No.
Yeah.
Chewy, you know what this feels like? It feels like what we're kind of seeing with Mahomes. It feels like the end of the first window that's open in his career. And he will have a second one, but they will have to rebuild it around him. And I think that's up with Josh Allen. I do not have faith in the Bills defense. Listen, and I know it's Joe Burrow, okay? But if you have to come back like that at home against the Bengals, what are we doing? The Bengals can't stop anybody. They can't stop anybody. It takes that kind of Herculean effort? Come on. No, I'm not buying that crap. Come on.
Chris, just real quick, because I know we're up against it. What were your feelings on Notre Dame being left out of the CFP?
Well, here's the problem. I'm Irish Catholic, and I hate Notre Dame.
I'm a BC guy. I hate them more than you.
And by the way, I know being a BC guy, bless you, my son. Honestly, if you're Notre Dame, beat Miami, and we're not talking about it today. That's all there is to it. And I understand what you're talking about. Here's what it is. You thought you were so good. Problem with Notre Dame is they think they're Notre Dame. And when they do, and they're not in a conference, that's why they're not in today. If they were in a conference, they would be in today, because the strength of schedule versus Alabama's, it's just not close. It's not close, and I'm sorry that they feel like they got hosed. If you want to complain about anything, complain about the process leading up to it, but the result was right.
Chris, appreciate you jumping on with us. Have a good show, and look forward to hearing you again all throughout the month of December on ESPN Radio.
I need some breakfast. What's going on here?
That's not my responsibility.
No, I know, but like,
usually Jen brings in like a bunch of she brings in like this whole like breakfast for herself every morning, but no.
But she usually drops it in the parking garage on the ground and then brings it in. So tread lightly.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Chris Carlin joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do want to tell you about our friends over at the Jewelry Center, because, of course, that's where I went. Dean, the dancing machine over there, he is going to make sure that if you want to get that in diamond engagement ring, especially this time of year, that it's going to be right. Again, I had an idea what my now wife was looking for in a ring. Maybe you don't. Go to her Pinterest board, see if she's got anything there, bring that in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction, whether it's a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for. When it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Check out the inventory at any one of the three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. Be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Join the show on the Carbo's Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. That's what Kyle from the 262 does. Chew, he wants to know, did you watch the Loveland touchdown? And he wanted to know if that's the play that you invented for a TD.
The throwback? Yeah, that's kind of part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
They did,
but mine
do something.
Wasn't, they've been doing that for a while, probably before I screwed up. Mine was more in the field.
Oh, okay. So yours is more not a goal line play. It's
correct.
More middle of the field.
They also did something there interesting where they brought him through the C gap. So he got lost in the offensive line. That was sort of where we've seen like Puka Nacua do it with the Rams.
Well, he's a little bit smaller. Easier for a smaller body like that to kind of sneak in through some small spaces.
The reason you lose him is because, looks like he's not going to go off our pass.
Well, it's funny because Brady called out Loveland, I think, on the other goal line for not knowing what the hell he was doing. You guys remember that play?
Yes.
And I still think they scored on it, though, even though he didn't block anyone. The guy he was supposed to block was right in the hole.
From my understanding, it seemed I heard some and saw some good. Was Tom Brady good yesterday?
He's improved.
He just stopped trying to be too perfect. You know what I mean?
He talks a little too much.
Okay.
But he's much better than what he was last year. That is clear.
Because it's just funny because that crew's done the last two Packer games.
Yes.
The one on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise going on, so you're watching the game, you can't really hear it. And then yesterday I was doing primetime on ESPN Radio, so I don't really hear the game broadcast. You're watching, paying attention, updating everyone, but I can't hear him. But it looked like people really seem to enjoy his explanation of the, because he had like the jacket on of, hey, this is what I do with the cold hand. Yes. This is how I did it in terms of dealing with the cold weather.
Yeah. Although I was watching the game with my son Dyson, and I dropped a few. Shut up, Brady. You sound like an idiot. So I did drop about four of those.
I think that's also just classic announcer stuff.
Is it?
And I think also the reason you get that way is it feels like he's taking up too much time. As much as he's Tom Brady and you want him to be on there, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Here's another thing. Do they not talk negatively enough about players?
No. That's classic. That happens all around.
See, I feel like Greg Olsen's the best. Like, but again, he's not going to trash a player.
Yes.
But he... Olsen
he's
going
to lead you to it.
Olsen does a good job of kind of threading the needle of, yes, like you said, kind of leading you to that conclusion without him saying it himself. If that makes sense.
Like, they should have been, and I really don't remember it, but they should have been calling Caleb Williams out for the last throw of the game. I mean, how dumb are you? You have a 6'6 tight end against a 6-foot DB. You put the ball in one place, and you err on the side of throwing it over his head instead of underthrowing it, right?
Well, and I've lost it now on the Carblues talking text line. Somebody brought up, because we were singing the praises of Ben Johnson. I have no idea why they decided to go play action there.
Yeah.
I understood you just got stopped on third and one, but they were ramming it down the Packers' throat, running the football in the second half.
To be fair to Ben Johnson on that, and they ran it again, and clearly that timeout was called because Jeff Hafley or someone on the staff said, hey, we talked about this play. They're going to try and get it to Komet here, and Keyshawn Nixon went and made a play. But DJ Moore was open if he would have just looked back into the flat more there, and probably leads to a touchdown. Also, Caleb could have probably gotten it with his legs.
All right, hold on.
God, you're just a Ben Johnson defender.
I mean...
No. Who, me or Josh?
He was good. Josh.
Yeah, no, he's good. You see the flow. He had one...
I just once want to hear Josh say something that good about Matt LaFleur. That's all I want.
Matt was pretty good.
See? This is what I'm talking about.
Does Odunze make a difference? And the only reason I'm bringing this up, and I really don't think he does, it's like if the Packers lose a receiver, it's not a big deal. They've got so many guys to plug in.
Odunze is clearly their best receiver.
Yeah.
But, like, the throw to Devin Duvernay, like, you can't... Like, if that's, you know... If that ends up being Odunze instead, nothing changes.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I think Odunze does make a difference, and maybe there's a couple of different things they can run with him, but I don't know how much of a difference it would have made yesterday because there were guys like Zacchaeus making play. Like, the guys that are behind him stepped up to make some plays.
Odunze, to me, is on the Christian Watson spectrum of very good player who can make really impressive plays but is very inconsistent and has moments where you go, well, why did you just run out of bounds before catching the ball? You could have just stopped. Like, he has some inconsistencies in his game where, like, I don't know if he makes that Duvernay catch. Because sometimes when the incredible stuff needs to happen, you replay, he's known to drop those.
Yeah.
As good as he is and as good as he's looked at times, he has a... I compare him really favorably to Christian Watson. He might be very good eventually, just not there yet.
Yeah, he just needs to do a little bit more learning, a little bit more growing. We continue to dive into the Packers' win over the Chicago Bears on a Victory Monday. In 2 minutes, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.